What's up, you radical Taz fans? I'm your game runner, Travis McElroy. Hi, everybody.
We are about to be so rich. We're about to get so rich off this one.
Oh, boy.
I think that this has the potential to be our most lucrative one yet.
You're talking about Toyetics?
The Toyetics on this one are through the roof, dudes.
Let's just say this. What's up, kids? If you've never listened before, we're the McElroy brothers and our dad, Clint. So the McElroy guys.
But he's not a narc. Whatever. Don't worry. He's a cool dad. He's sitting backward in his chair.
No, I'm cool, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if your parents have ever told you about the Avenger Zone or your Guardian or whatever, but that's this. And we're going to do a story just for you to hang out with them and everybody to have fun together. Now, what does that mean? We're going to try to avoid profanity. Now, that's interesting, kid. I should mention.
Why did you say try, Justin? I don't like that there's a low-level commitment there.
I will try. Our editor, Rachel, will succeed in not letting there be any profanity in here. I got to say, kids, I'm really excited. I'll be honest with you. I cuss in front of my kids. So, I don't know. I feel like I'm living kind of a glass house double standard.
I do not. And I've got both of them just to the sides of my desk. They are watching me like fleshy statues that look a lot like me. And I've never
cussed in my entire life.
This isn't going to be boring. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I promise.
Okay, what about minced oaths? Can we
minced oaths?
Poop.
Okay, I would like to darn. Ask a favor.
Darn is okay.
Darn is okay.
I would like to not say darn. Please.
What about shucky darn?
Absolutely not. Some of them are more offensive.
Ding dang.
I'm going to be sick from all this profanity. Okay.
So I'm going to start from the beginning. So when we were discussing what was going to come after Taz versus Dracula.
Which is not for you, kids.
Unless you're awesome. Yeah, if you're cool. And so the part of the discussion that we kind of got to was like choosing a thing, because I wanted to run the next one. I think it was Justin who was like, you need to think about like what's the thing that makes complete and total sense that you would be the one like telling the story and that it just is a perfect fit. And for a while now, I've had running segments on My Brother and Me about abnormals, which is my term for... Primarily, it was like the late 80s, then through the 90s and early 2000s, different TV shows that were like animals with muscles in places they should not be. So beginning with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in like 1987, and then you had like Street Sharks and Biker Mice from Mars.
In my head, it's always like, I always think about Animorphs because I always think about if Animorphs got stuck halfway through. You know what I mean?
Like if the Animorphs got stuck.
And they also all... They also all skateboarded and ate hot dogs.
If you sneeze mid-morph, you get stuck in the morph.
A lot of people
knows that.
Now, for me, the term animals kind of expanded beyond just like Street Sharks. I mean, I think it fringes into like Darkwing Duck area a little bit, Tailspin. I would say that there's areas of like Toxic Avenger cartoon that's in there, which was a wild, by the way,
wild
call. Yeah, there in the 90s. Basically, and you'll see this in abnormals where we have it broken down into three categories of like animals that kind of evolved rapidly, like your Ninja Turtles, people that mutated with animals like Street Sharks, Battletoads, that kind of thing. And then you have like aliens, which both includes like other planets or like fantasy, other dimensions kind of things, like your gargoyles and I want to say Cowboys of Movement. No, Biker Mice from Mars. They're from Mars, where it's just a planet where they are that. And in discussing that, like in talking about it, it also then just made complete sense to try to embrace the kind of Saturday morning cartoon feel of it, which is where that concept comes from. And if that's the case, why not make it so like everyone can listen? And maybe not be embarrassed that you're listening to it while you drive your kids to school.
Hold on. Wait, we can't promise that. You may still be embarrassed listen to this show. We are, I think, in our peak cringe era.
It
feels
100%.
Right to me. And so, like, you'll be embarrassed by it, but it won't be, like, you can play it for your friends at church.
Kids. Now, I also can't promise that, Griffin, because I have piqued my cringe so many times in, like, just in the last decade and a half. I don't know how much more cringy I can be, personally.
Sure.
And there might be complicated morality things. Maybe you shouldn't play for your friends at church. Yeah.
So no cursing, no Satanism. No.
Well, right? Now hold on.
We're going to have a very positive Christian message in this one.
Can't promise that either.
Skibbity.
Skibbity, right. Ohio. We started with that concept and made up a rule set. Let's see, who do we want to start with when we discuss? We'll kind of go over the rules a little bit when we go through the character sheets, but let's start with Griffin.
All right. For this season of the Adventure Zone Abnormals, I will be playing Navy SEAL. He is a SEAL. He is big boy, Ocean Commando, and former member of the Royal SEALs, an all SEAL based team of heroes. He is not, nor has he ever been, an active duty service member of our armed forces. This is something he must make very clear anytime he is introduced.
Because Navy is just his color, right?
Navy is his the color of sort of his armor that was his assigned color in the Royal SEALs. However, he was not aware that that is a type of, like, army guy. And so, or I guess Navy guy. And so he did, there were accusations of stolen valor that were placed at his feet that led to his removal from this honorable animal hero team.
Well, did he start life as a SEAL or a person?
I think he started life as a SEAL. I think it would be weird if he was a person first and then got turned into a SEAL.
Okay, so he evolved rapidly
yes.
to this anthropomorphic SEAL person. Got it.
Yes, that's right. He's a Ross SEAL, which is a very round type of SEAL. Big bug eyes, big bulldog, sort of flappy mouth, big beefy, well, blubbery body. He's got a big suit of sort of future armor. On the scale of shirt, pants, both or neither, I think he's Thank both, you. But I also think that it leaves a little to the imagination. The
abs are so it's a scanty effect. Both.
A it's scanty armor. He also has a signature item, which is a mechanic in the game that Travis has devised that he uses a lot, which is basically like the flood pack from Super Mario Sunshine. It's a sort of double-barreled hydro blaster jetpack that he can use for sort of propulsion or spray combat purposes.
Or just like, I don't know, if somebody is, it's salt water, isn't it? I was going to say if they're thirsty, but you wouldn't want
I bet
that.
He's got a filter that he can slap on
a
there.
Brita.
A Brita that he can mix in there. He's sort of the heavy of the group, I'm imagining. Sort of the Raphael, but without all the baggage.
A non-toxic Raphael.
A non-toxic Raphael who sort of,
Your
you
kids
know,
can eat this Raphael and you don't even have to worry about it.
No
It's
problem.
Not recommended. There's not a lot of vitamins in it, but
no
they're not
Mr. Yuck
sick.
Sticker on this Raphael. In a bit of a career slump, was riding high with the Royal SEALs, but is sort of in a rebuilding phase with this new ragtag Abnormals team.
So the way that the signature item works is anytime you attack with something or attack in general, it's you have 2d8 of attack. But if you're attacking with your signature item, it's a 3d8 attack.
This is a very 8-based system.
Yes, correct.
There's 3d8s that we roll to determine success or failures. More 3d8s means more chances for success.
That's
so
right.
Your signature item helps you to do that.
So then we have two sets of kind of specialization and skills. You have your abs skills and your animal skills. And abs is anything that you have learned in training or, you know, educated yourself on.
If you got to train abs.
You got to train abs.
You don't just get abs. You earn abs.
An animal.
You remember, this stuff you earn. Like, yeah. you earn your abs.
You earn your abs. An animal is
in
anything.
The hall, in the church, in the iron church.
Yes, thank you. And then animal skills or animal moves or anything that is inherent to the species that the player character is.
Yes. Ross seals have this cool thing where they can make these insane noises with their, you know, neck stuff that they have inside. They just make like
with
crazy
their neck stuff. No, that's what I don't care about the noise part, Griffin. Could you not think of throat and vocal cords?
I guess that's what I was thinking of. They have these vocalizations they can do to like communicate long distance. So that's one of the features.
Yes, that falls under the skills to pay the bills. Right. Unlike regular TTRPGs. Everybody can, you know, check for a thing or lift up a thing or do that stuff, right? But each character has, like, special skills that are related to kind of their abilities and their animal, which are the skills to pay the bills. So, correct. Griffin, what are Navy SEALs' abs skills to pay the bills?
Abs skills, hydropropulsion with his splash pack. He also has a skill called Bulky Boy. That just means he's been to the gym a lot and he's hard to knock down. And then on the animal side, siren song, he's got this crazy loud voice he can do stuff with, and bug eyed. Cause, man, look at a picture of a Ross SEAL. These are good dudes, and their eyes are huge and crazy looking.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And we'll talk all about what those do when they come up in the game. And finally, as far as specialization goes, each character has Mondo moves. And these are moves that are, conditional. If blank happens, then you can do blank. And once again, they're broken into abs and animals. What are Navy SEALs' abs moves?
Yes, he has an abs move called Torpedo, where if he is submerged in water, he can launch himself at an enemy at tremendous speed, closing large gaps and dealing a bunch of damage that is facilitated by his splash pack. And then there is, on the animal side, Blubber Shield, which lets me take damage for an adjacent friend. Or I also have baby doll eyes, which is that if me or one of my teammates fails a diplomatic role of some sort, I can bat my huge, adorable eyes to try and repeat the role.
They're really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. These are good boys. Oh, my God. So cute.
Griffin, do you have a stolen valor kink, or is it just like an unrealized path in your life that you never went down?
Yeah, it is, I think, specifically. It's just about the Navy, I guess. Like, I've never wanted to be. That's not my life. But I think I look at the Navy.
It could be. It could be, huh?
I look at the Navy and I'm like, they've got a lot of great ideas over there. They're cooking with, and I'm just talking about sort of aesthetically. Like, that's my aesthetic.
Also, the Navy can't be problematic because they're just following orders.
And they're just
like, you can't be mad
at
them.
It's not Army, right? Army is like, we go into your place and we like mess it up and we do like all kinds of wild stuff. People have some thoughts about it. Navy, we're just a
What's
bunch
the beach?
Of boat friends on the beach having a great time.
And we should make it clear, we don't know anything about the Navy.
I don't know.
Well,
anything.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. We have maritime blood running through our veins. Go back to the Titanic.
Sir Thomas McElroy.
I thought it was Herbert.
Herbert.
I just had a great idea. We should have a swear jar, an actual swear jar that we have to put money in. And then at the end of the season, whoever has sworn the least gets all the money.
I don't want your guys' dirty swear money. I want to donate it somewhere.
No,
yeah, I will donate it. Well, that's bad because that incentivizes swearing.
That's true. That'll be our max fun drive bonus.
I'm doing
this
for
all
the
swears we cut out all in one long track. And then, like any good, rule system, there is advancement that is based off of, like, when you score a perfect attack or when you fail a roll or all those kinds of things. Points that up, you can spend them. But once again, we'll get into that as we go. Dad, tell me about your character.
My character is Roger Moore. He is primarily a spy. He's a cow.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
He is like a master of infiltration. Well, he thinks he's a master of infiltration. He's a Charolais cow, Charolais. He's all white.
And oh, wow. Oh, this is a beautiful animal.
Oh, my God. You guys have chosen beautiful animals.
Any beautiful?
So except, furry, like wildly fur, like fuzzy furry.
It does Roger look like they got a perm. Yeah.
He has like a two black circles around his eyes, almost like a bandit mask.
Okay. Cool.
And when he does his infiltration, he covers that with a white domino mask. Ugh. So he can blend right into any situation.
Where it's all white and
it's
very
snowing.
Bright. Yeah. Okay, yeah. He's kind of an Arctic cow.
This guy looks like a sheep who got huge, like
who got big,
like, really big sheep, and got freaking huge.
A sheep Roger who made a wish on a Zoltar machine or something. Yeah,
exactly.
Roger is very fond of his hair, and uses that because he's kind of again thinks he's a master of disguise. Now he's an alien. From another galaxy. He was in a different abnormal type group, and they're
The Barnyard All-Stars.
The Barnyard All-Stars, and they were all very jock-oriented, very sports-oriented, and Roger loves the dance. His usual cover is as a competitive ballroom dancer. And so all of his skills and moves are basically a derivative of dance.
Hey, Justin, I got that, and I love it.
It's very good. There's going to be a lot of that, guys. A lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
Quick question, GM.
Yeah?
Is this an all-animals
world? Is it GM or GR? Because you said game runner. What's your term? You got to make a
Yeah, what do you
thing.
Prefer? You made this game.
Master Travis? No, that's not it.
No, that sucks.
I think game...
Zookeeper?
Zookeeper's pretty cool.
Mm-mm.
Zeke.
Hey, you know what? ZK is at least easy to remember.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Zookeeper. That
ZK. Okay, ZK. Listen, is this an all animals world?
No. So this is more in line with. There are a lot of abnormals and a lot of teams. Ever since the convergence.
Yeah.
But primarily, the citizens of River City are still human.
I need a guarantee right now from all of us that we will not kiss any humans. We will not have a Sonic the Hedgehog or Gargoyles-esque sort of intra
how dare you
romance arcs.
Like, cut that off for your fellow players, Griffin. But yeah, that would be icky. So if you guys want to... No, I don't want to start with that energy. Anybody can kiss anybody they want to as long as it's consensual. No,
yeah, don't be cutting into Roger's arsenal here. I mean,
okay,
you just don't want Dad kissing my characters, and that's fine, Griffin. That I get. I understand that completely.
If there's any animal babes,
yeah, okay,
nice.
So Roger is an alien. Was with the Barnyard All Stars. Is no longer with the Barnyard All Stars. Cool. Tell me about Roger's signature item.
His signature item is called the cattle prod, and there are these little metal caps that fit on the tips of his horns, and they act like a taser. They can shock.
I love that. I love
but
that.
But you have to, like, punch your head into an enemy to use it?
He has to get pretty close to them, yeah. Has to get pretty close.
Can you hack with them? I don't know if our team has a hacker.
Hmm.
We'll see.
That's for future development.
Yeah, I
the
guess
thing
so.
About the abnormals rule set is intentionally very flexible and vague. Because I don't know if you guys have watched any of those references I made earlier recently.
They're really
but they're not very physics and science driven, so I'm not super worried about it.
His skills.
Yes.
He is a master of Muay Thai. Mm-hmm. Which is a bovine fighting style. Mm-hmm. So he can use his hind legs to front kick or side kick. He can use his front legs to block or jab.
Awesome. You've really thought
Why
this
even
out.
Mechanics?
Yeah.
Which is back to X and which is back to X, A, Dad? I need to make sure
triangle,
I have the combos.
And then L2 is side kick. And then his... his other abs.
Pull them all together. He deploys his udders and he does his udder blast. It comes at udder madness.
I'm shaping the udders.
Justin, I don't want to listen. Justin, I don't want to get too far into cow biology.
That's
here.
Why he has to press all the buttons. Travis, let's leave it at that. Okay.
Oh, it's a special combo that makes him suddenly have an udder.
Yes, it's utter madness. It's not utter normal.
Okay, utter madness. Oh, I'm stealing that. Yeah. His other skill is counterfeit. He can speak most animal languages and imitate each one of them perfectly.
I don't like that one.
Animal you don't skills. Like animals having other languages?
I don't like counterfeit.
Oh, just the pun itself.
I feel like we should limit him to one for character.
Hey, Justin, Dad's fully embracing this, and I'm loving it.
Okay, you're right, Dad. I'm so sorry.
Now tell me about your animal skills.
Yeah.
Prehensile power, where he can use his tail like a whip or a somewhat short rope for, like, binding somebody.
I love that.
And
Now wait one second. You can use your tail to bind somebody, but then they're just like on you at
tied
that
to
point?
His butt. Yeah.
Tied to your butt?
Yeah, right next to those hind kicking legs.
Oh, get cool. It? Okay.
Come on. I thought this out, baby. I thought this
sounds like it.
And the his other animal skill is CH for you, where he burps a cloud of methane gas, which can be very disorienting, and is most effective up close, like if he's interrogating
somebody.
Burps in somebody's face, it's a cloud of methane gas.
What is his carbon footprint? How much of the current sort of climate crisis do you think Roger Moore is kind of like solely responsible for? A lot of it?
I think like 9%. Of it.
Oh, 9%? That's a lot. So much, cow. Dad. Yeah.
In defense of the world, I mean, you know.
You have to destroy the world sometimes to fix it.
Yes.
So it should be clear, just because it just occurred to me, Roger is a member of former member of the Barnyard All-Stars. All the Barnyard All-Stars are not cows. It's a world of various barnyard animals with different sets of skills and everything. Which three of your Mondo moves are you starting out with?
I think I'm going to start with Wango Bango Tango.
Okay.
When somebody grabs Roger or attempts to grab him, he can counter grab that opponent and put them into a disorienting spin.
Love that.
And then I think I really think I want to go with the Night Fox Trot.
Okay.
When he hears a techno beat, he can do a fluid acrobatic tumbling dance like the French dude in Ocean's 12.
Yep.
It's on the sheet.
It's right there on the sheet.
Got that on the sheet.
Yep. You know,
it's so wild that
now originally there was a misprint where Dad mistyped and it said the Grinch dude from Ocean's 12, and it took me way too long to figure out he meant French dude.
You remember when Jim Carrey stole all that art? And then the animal move I'm going to do is Scourge of the China Shop, which in close quarters, he whirls around like a dervish and wrecks everything.
Okay. And that's Roger, last but not least. Justin, introduce us to your creation.
Hey, I'm playing a character named Axo Lyle, and he's a extreme firefighter and an axolotl. He's both.
Now, Justin, I do need you to...
Some people can be two things.
No, that's great. Yeah. I love that. What makes...
He really can't have it all.
Okay. Extreme firefighter was a thing I needed to ask you about when you told me you wanted to be...
Yeah, so an extreme firefighter is someone who... Like a firefighter fights fires.
Yeah.
But if you need to fight a fire in a situation that is otherwise dangerous, you call in extreme firefighters. So if there's a fire in an airport, firefighters. If there's a fire in an airplane, extreme firefighters.
Oh,
do you understand me?
Yeah.
We couldn't expect regular firefighters to like, they're like the SWAT team of firefighters, basically.
I love it. Okay.
So they're all used to like extreme environments. Extreme conditions, extreme action and adventure excitement.
Yeah. Okay. And Did Axolotl start as an axolotl? He mutated, right?
Yes. Well, I didn't have to invent anything for axolotls, guys. They are wild.
Yeah.
But did he start human, I guess is what I'm asking.
No, he started as a regular pet axolotl that his owner read on Reddit that you could inject iodine into them to force them to metamorphize, even though that is not something that happens in the wild. There's experimentation with that. So he actually accidentally gave him cosmic iodine.
Oh, man.
Which his father had at the house from his experiments.
Yeah.
And the cosmic iodine transformed him into the extreme firefighter, Axolotl.
Excellent.
I feel foolish because I realize I'm the only one that didn't think about how did my guy become a superpowered bipedal seal man. I didn't think about that. It's just that's...
Well, it's part of the convergence.
Yeah, okay.
It'll come in the new
and we'll not cover what that is.
Well, sure, the convergence is the catch-all term for the two-week period where suddenly a lot of animals suddenly right. existed.
Cool.
Yeah. Like, for a while, there was only the one set, the Greenback Guardians, who started in the 80s, because they ate some microwave lettuce, right?
We can't. And, we can't. Well, it's got to be
reveal it slowly, Trav. They don't deserve all of it at once. You got to lift the skirt up slowly.
Now, Axolotl, you mentioned the metamorphosizing because Axolotl was formerly a member of Amphibophores.
Right. Absolutely. That was his last home after he... I mean, he's always on call as a volunteer extreme firefighter, and that's something that is tricky, is that work can sometimes call him away at inopportune moments. He was with the Amphibophores before this team, but it eventually got weird for him because he was the only one that didn't actually naturally morph, because axolotls don't do that naturally. They could. They just don't. They're really weird.
As an adult, you mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they don't. They don't metamorph. They don't go through metamorphosis, but if you give them iodine, they will. There'll just come something new. No biggie. Just like real Pokemon. It's
weird.
Insane. They're wild.
Axolotls are wild, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Are you hoping that he has teeth? He does not. There's no teeth.
I wasn't hoping that, Justin. That was not... I had no investment emotionally in it whatsoever.
So you're telling me the axolotls transform into adult salamanders with an injection of iodine. They never become fully mature salamanders in the wild.
Yes, this is what I'm telling you.
That is the wildest animal fact I've maybe ever heard.
Oh, okay. Let's. They're only in one place.
South
there's
America?
Only one place. No, it's Lake Xochimilco. It's in Mexico City. It's the only place they are, and there are canals around that area. They're just there. They're wild. No teeth. My powers are based on the axolotl.
Well, before we get to that, I want to hear about your signature item, Justin.
It's a hatchet man.
Called hatchet man?
It's called hatchet man. In the Amphibophores, the guys all had named weapons that they loved, and they would be like, so what's up with the hatchet? And I'm like, it's not a weapon. It's a tool. It's a hatchet, and I use it for extreme firefighting. They're like, but what's its call? What's its story? And I would keep telling them, it's a hatchet man. It's just a hatchet man. And then eventually they were like, Axolotl, he never goes anywhere without Hatchet Man.
I see.
So I eventually just had to go with it. They just start calling it Hatchet Man.
Okay. Tell us about your abnormal skill, your abs skills to pay the bills.
Yes. Okay. So Axolotl has some of his ab skills that are from his time as an extreme firefighter, like extreme exfiltration. When a structure or environment is in danger of destruction, I have a practiced sense of the best path of escape.
Excellent.
I have extreme hiding because I can use camouflage to hide in the environment. That's just axolotls, though. But I've practiced that skill to where I can use it because it's not like perfect. It's not invisibility. It's like it's something that I've had to learn how to do. It's also not natural to me. My last abs skill is another one that requires a lot of focus and concentration because axolotls have gills and they also have lungs and they only use their lungs sometimes if they feel like it. So I can manually activate my lungs to help me breathe in challenging environments rather than just relying on my gills.
Yeah.
Of course. My animal skills are limb regeneration.
Man, I was going to ask how often that's going to come up, but given the history of the Adventure Zone, every four episodes or so, someone gets something.
Somebody loses an arm, yeah.
Yeah, you want to know something? I'm going to switch these two. I think extreme hiding should be animal, and anything's a drum should be abs. I'm going to switch those two. Anything's a drum is he's exceptionally skilled at improvising melee weapons in his environment since he does not have a weapon that he carries with him. He's very adept at like finding melee weapons in the environment.
Perfect.
What is his hatchet, man? If
it's a
not,
tool. It's a tool.
It's a tool, baby.
It's a
stop
tool.
Calling me baby.
Yeah,
it's
don't,
a hatchet,
it's
man.
Twice now in one. It's twice in one show you call Griffin baby. It's got to stop.
I think he's getting
stop,
into
baby.
Kind of a Roger Moore kind
no,
of.
No,
like,
I like
hey,
I,
baby.
I was inspired by Teenage Ninja Turtles, the movie, where they keep their weapons on their back the entire movie.
Yeah.
And they
never
take them out.
Cool.
They're literally just there the whole time. They don't use them.
I
so
love
you'll
that.
See them like get sausage links at one point and use those as nunchucks.
Yeah.
It's like, dog, you have nunchucks.
Yeah.
You have them. It's
yeah,
like, no,
but
no,
the shell
this.
Makes it really hard to reach back there. I
Your arms
assume.
Are so Maybe little. Yeah.
Tell me about your Mondo moves as Axel Lyle.
Okay, my Mondo moves. I have Nocturno Sense. In a darkened environment and when not in active peril, Lyle can use sound and chemical detection to understand more about his environment and enemies, etc. But that doesn't work in danger, and it doesn't work when it's bright. It's only when it's dark, because mm-hmm. it's exceptional in the dark. This is an animal move. It's called Don't Look at Me. If Lyle loses multiple limbs at once, he can regrow them. But the noises he makes in the process are so embarrassing, he's unable to continue fighting opponents who've heard it.
Mm-hmm. And that's
so
a power?
So if I lose one in a fight, okay. If I lose more than one, I have to lay down and grunt in a way that is, I can do it. I can come back from that, but I can't keep fighting.
Uh-huh.
Because it's too embarrassing.
Okay.
What's the use case for, I guess if you're in a fight and you lose a bunch of limbs?
Okay, truthfully, I wanted to use my mono move as a way of like creating a limiting factor around
sure.
my ability to regrow limbs. Cause I didn't want it to be a thing where I'm always young axolotls will eat parts of their brothers and sisters for energy.
Yeah.
Cause they know it's just going to grow back.
NBD.
So it's like not even a big deal.
Got to.
Cool, man. Wow. Axolotls are horrifying and beautiful.
Oh, sexy. That's the only thing about Lyle is, like, he's, like, really sexy and cool.
In a rugged way?
In every way.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, man. No,
once
I
again,
my character's also also sexy.
I've encountered this playing with a bunch of different teams, not just us. I didn't know you could just do that.
No, he's the hunk. He's the hunky one.
Darn it.
I'm going to say, I'm willing
Launcher's
to accept.
Launcher's pretty sexy, you
yeah,
guys.
Listen, I don't want to force this on you guys. If each of your characters wants to assume they're the hunky one, I'm
Can
on board
make,
with that.
Let me make a suggestion because we will have younger people listening, I hope. Let's just make a rule that none of us say the word sexy again.
Yeah.
That was the last one, actually.
Yeah. That was the last one.
Hunky.
Let's
Can we say hunky?
Hunky's
I don't
good.
Think we even need to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay,
like,
cool.
You know?
I'm a big boy. I need tempo. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the advertisements here on the Adventure Zone. I'd like to tell you about tempo.
And with us is special guest, J.K. Simmons.
That's not
my tempo.
Well, no.
It's not my tempo.
Have him say, like, that is my tempo.
Oh, that is my tempo. Okay,
now
J.K.,
make him say,
you can
now
leave.
Make him say, now make
oh,
him say
wait,
Griffin's. Make him say, Griffin's the best. And
Griffin's
also
the best.
Him,
give
wait,
me pictures
stop.
Of Spider-Man.
You didn't tell him to say that. That was you
He's
doing
the He's
on the voice.
Headphones.
Okay.
He's got his own cans. He brought them from home.
Okay.
He's a professional.
Why do you guys like this?
What do you
Can
mean?
Can you just do a normal advertisement? Can you do like a normal, just do a normal ad?
Okay. So yeah, I'm a busy guy and so is Travis. He knows J.K. Simmons. So when you're busy and you're on the go and you want to eat good food, but you only have like 2 minutes to heat it up, you can still have really yummy stuff thanks to Tempo. This is my tempo. I'm talking about Tuscan bacon mushroom chicken.
Ooh.
I'm talking about five spice glazed chicken thighs.
Yeah, yes.
They got seafood options. They got chili shrimp rice bowl. They got so many stuff. They got protein pack stuff. They're always swapping around the menu, so you can always like try out new stuff, and it all tastes really good. And you can get it ready like really, really fast.
And even J.K. Simmons likes it. He's the pickiest eater I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He has really specific tastes, and there is a special J.K. Simmons only menu on Tempo.
Yeah,
I eat pictures of Spider-Man.
If you go to tempomeals.com, you'll see an option that'll be like the special J.K. Simmons menu. When you click on it, it says, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" It's like a captcha, and like, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" And it tests you, and if it's not, then it'll be like, "Get the fuck out of here." Get the fuck out of here. This is for JK only, it says.
Wow. So for a limited time, Tempo is offering my listeners 60% off your first box. Go to tempomeals.com/adventure. That's tempomeals.com/adventure for 60% off your first box. Tempomeals.com/adventure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Guys, I got a mattress from Lisa, the luxury hybrid, and it is changing my life. First, I'm just going to tell you, first of all, it lays flat like this. Yeah. A lot of beds that I have had in the past are at a 45-degree angle or worse, Dracula style, 180.
Yeah.
So the Lisa mattress is flat, which we love. The next
that
thing,
is 180. I do just want to say that the flat is 180.
It's way longer than my body.
Okay.
A lot of beds, my head and feet dangle off of them like a child, like Will Ferrell in the film Elf.
Yeah,
the elf beds. This is not like that. This bed is bigger than my body, which is incredible.
Is it thin like a tissue?
No. It's comfortable like a million tissues.
Whoa.
Sorry, it says here, don't compare it to a million tissues. No, it's got aerated foam channels and an ultra breathable dual spring system. It's like sitting in between the balance of foam and spring. It's like living in the middle, in the mid space. It's the perfect balance. The in the shadow lands. And it can keep you cool. They got a chill hybrid too. If you want to go a little bit cooler,
like
advanced
me,
advanced cooling, luxury quilt top. If you want, exactly.
I'm a chill hybrid.
Yeah,
you're a chill hybrid.
Yeah, half Travis, half electric.
Go to Lisa.com for 20% off mattresses, plus get an extra $50 off with promo code ADVENTURE, exclusive for our listeners. That's Leesa.com, promo code ADVENTURE for 20% off mattress, plus an extra $50 off. Support our show and let them know we sent you after checkout. Lisa.com, promo code ADVENTURE.
And check this out.
That's pretty good, Griffin.
Thanks.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a Choose Your Own Adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show. Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
And this is a promo for Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions. Every week, we're going to tell you about a bit of culture, a bit of history, how etiquette still applies in the modern day, all that stuff.
We also love to do biographies and histories of and, general procedurals, how to do etiquette in today's society.
So come check it out. Every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you find your podcasts.
Manners Schmanners. Get it?
My name's Doug Duguay, and I'm here to talk about my podcast in the middle of the one you're listening to. It's called Valley Heat, and it's about my neighborhood, the Burbank Rancho Equestrian District, the center of the world when it comes to foosball, frisbee golf, and high-speed freeway roller skating. And there's been a Jaguar parked outside on my curb for 10 months. I have no idea who owns it. I have a feeling it's related to the drug drop that was happening in my garbage can a little over a year ago. And if this has been a boring commercial, imagine 45 minutes of it. Okay, Valley Heat, it's on every month on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts. Check it out, but honestly, skip it.
These are the chronicles of the Rancho Equestrian District in Burbank, California. These are the events taking place in my house, around my house.
All So that's the characters, and you know, we'll learn everything about them, I'm sure, as we play on. The world that we'll be playing in is River City, USA, time now. The convergence has led to, there are quite a few Abnormals teams throughout the city. We already mentioned the Royal Seals, Amphibophores, Barnyard All-Stars. There's other notable ones like the Dragon Riders and codenamed Bird. Of course, Unicorn, the mercenary Unicorn group. We'll get more into it as we go and talk about all those teams. But primarily, this is still, you know, human population. But that said, at this point, Abnormals are such a common kind of occurrence that these aren't like hidden from sight, scientists must not know we exist level. So you guys don't need to worry about like going out during the day or talking to people or anything like that here in the city. In fact, maybe the biggest entrepreneur, the guy who owns anything that's River City First blank, is owned by Walter Russell, who is a half man, half walrus. He owns River City First Bank, River City First News, all these different places. So he's well known. Abnormals are not hidden here. There's also, surprisingly, very diverse environments, biomes here in River City. Part of the town is a swamp. Part of the town is a desert. Everybody's comfortable here. Everybody fits
seaside,
in River
seaside city.
Oh yeah, seaside. Cool. With a long river, as the name would denote, running through the center of the city to the sea. So we even get a little bit of like marshland there in the delta where it meets.
Varied, varied. You would say it's a
varied, incredibly varied.
Got it.
Ballrooms? Are there ballrooms?
Of course, there's ballrooms. Don't worry. Don't you worry. And in our many beautiful hotels, the Abnormals' presence began in the 1980s when the Greenback Guardians came on the scene, and they were the only ones for a long time. But then they mysteriously disappeared in 2004. Mm. One day they were there, one day they weren't. But also by that point, they'd cleaned up a lot of the town. Their main opponent, Dr. Killdeath, had actually at that point gone into politics, and I think by that point had made mayor. He would later become governor and then retire. But they disappeared in 2004. The convergence happened in 2010, 6 years later, at which point there are a whole bunch of new Abnormals teams on the scene. As far as when you guys actually joined the kind of Abnormals scene in River City, that's up to you. But my question now is, how recently were you all removed or quit your team? Your previous team, I should say.
I would say Navy SEALs sort of excommunications, pretty fresh. I would say it's probably been just sort of a couple months. He is very much in the rebuilding phase of his life and career.
Is there a new SEAL on the team to replace you?
Yes.
What's their color?
Don't lie.
Yeah.
Come fuchsia. On. Tell the truth, Griffin.
Fuchsia.
Fuchsia SEAL.
And I hate him. Yeah. I hate him. I hate his guts.
That's gotta hurt. And yeah. Royal SEAL is led by Golden SEAL, who is the SEAL prince.
I hate his guts too.
Oh, okay. Because he booted you?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, man. What about Roger? Roger, when did you leave or remove from the Barnyard All-Stars?
I think Roger's been out for a long time. He's pretty much a lone wolf. I mean, he's a competitive dancer.
He is a cow.
Yeah, a lone. That was in quotes. Okay. I think he's been out for a long time. And, you know, especially since he's been establishing this cover as a competitive dancer, you know, he's going to try to make it on his own, going from partner to partner, trying to, you know, set up this whole cover identity as a competitive dancer. I think he's been out for a long time, and I think he's got quite the reputation. He really established this cover.
What about you, Axel Lyle?
I'm not sure I'm out. I haven't gotten a call from him in a long time, but it was always kind of like you call me in when the situation merits. Like, I always felt like I was kind of on the fringes anyway. So when they would call, it's just gotten like more and more sporadic. I'm not 100% that I'm out. You're not in it anymore.
What was the normal length of time between calls, and how long has it been since they last called
you? It's usually about 2 to 3 weeks, I would say, is the typical.
And how long has it been since they last called you?
13 months. Okay. It's been 13 months, but they, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
Things change.
Maybe there just haven't been any fires lately.
There just haven't been any fires. It has been really rainy.
Okay. How long have the three of you been operating as kind of a team?
4 days.
Do you see yourself as a team?
Oh, interesting.
Mm. What'd you say, Griffin?
4 days.
Classically, I feel like two of us would know each other and then we'd meet the third one. Doesn't that feel... That feels right, right?
I think given the proximity of our biomes, it feels like Axelisle and Navy SEAL have probably run into one another.
Okay, I like that.
At some of the wet parties, which is parties that sort of ocean and river animals throw. Okay, you know what a wet party
implied.
Is.
It was implied. It was very clear from the words, Griffin. You painted a picture.
And I don't think the Venn diagram has a lot of crossover with Roger. I mean, Lyle and Navy don't really seem like the followers of competitive dance. I don't know.
We are of a similar build, though. We probably go to a gym specifically for big boys.
Maybe.
So maybe that's
okay. Good. I like that connective tissue. Yeah, that's good.
We shop at like the whatever the animal equivalent of Big and Tall, like animal warehouse is.
River City
tall.
River City first closed for big boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So was it that you two, Lyle and Navy, started working together and then we're like, we need to, no pun intended, rope in a third?
We'll were some underwater fires that maybe we had to deal with. That feels...
Oh, that's extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty extreme.
Sub. Fire in a sub.
Underwater fire. Regular firefighters are not ready for underwater fire.
No.
That doesn't even make sense. They're like freaking out.
There were these billionaires who did a deep sea sub exploration,
uh-huh.
And there was a big fire, and it made the news. But in this universe, we got it, folks.
Yeah, nice.
In this universe, no problem.
Love that.
We got there.
And was it that something about in order to reach the thing you needed some like spy infiltration skills and you're like, I know a guy, we'll bring him in.
Yeah.
I know a guy at the gym
who says he's pretty sneaky.
Yes. We had to sneak into the ocean. It was shark territory.
Oh, and boy.
We didn't mess with them.
Yeah. I would imagine that the Royal Seals have a lot of issues with the sharks.
Surprisingly, it's actually killer whale. Maybe it was the orca.
There you go. The organization.
The organization. That's very good.
Yeah. Very good.
So you guys did this undersea rescue. It was successful.
That is so important.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't think we got much acclaim, though, because I don't think the billionaires would want this to come out. And so I don't think that this is like a, and then we became famous.
Yeah.
Situation.
But it went well enough that the three of you were like, maybe we do like another and see how it goes and maybe keep.
I think we realized that the problem with all the groups is that they're so specialized.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's the problem with a lot of these guys. It's like, if you have a frog problem, you know what I mean? But what if it's a problem that like, requires a lot of different approaches.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? A lot of different skill sets that aren't so targeted. You know what I mean? I think we all are sort of in between our specialities. You know what I mean? We're not hemmed in.
And a lot of teams
won't
won't allow there to be two big boys.
A lot of teams are like,
we have our big boy, we have our little guy, there can be overlap.
Well, a lot of in this world, right, because the Greenback Guardians they became kind of the template for these things, right? So it was like, okay, so if you mutate, if you evolve, right, if you're an alien with this species, you're going to join this group because that's where the other ones are. So it's also not like necessarily chosen. It's not like, we work together the best. It was like, well, we're all SEALs, so.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so short-sighted, yeah.
Yeah.
And Roger doesn't really see himself as a big boy. I think Roger sees himself as the agile.
I mean, comparatively, you may be, because we didn't really cover this, I feel like, in the character setup, but I do think it's worth saying, at least for me, like, Axel Lyle is also very strong and tough.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We didn't, like, that's implied for all of us, right?
Well, that once again goes kind of with the Abnormals theme, where they're all giants and beefy, like, and they'll be strong. Like, and he's the strong one. I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's like, he's the best one at fighting. It's like, you all fight the exact same way.
Yeah.
So you guys haven't been together long, right?
No.
We're maybe
we're still learning.
Okay. But you're not new to the scene, right? You guys were all in these other teams.
Right, exactly.
So a lot of it is like learning to work together, learning like how your skills fit and stuff like that. Okay, well, I think we've covered a lot of stuff, and, you know, in the next episode, we'll be doing like an actual like episode and story and stuff. But the last thing I want to cover before we went, what's your guys' like radical favorite food? So to recover your hit points, you'll need to eat something radical. It doesn't necessarily have to be your favorite food, but of course you would prefer it to be. So what is your character's like favorite radical food?
Sushi.
That makes a lot of sense.
Thanks.
Is there like a specific kind?
Philadelphia roll. No.
Philadelphia roll. I don't think there's fish in that one. I think that's just cream cheese and onions, isn't it?
Cream cheese and onions? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure maybe there's imitation crab stick in there.
Smoked salmon, cream cheese, and cucumber. That's it. And sometimes made with imitation crab instead of salmon.
No, I really don't think he is. I don't think he's picky.
Does he go spicy? Any spicy mayo in there?
Absolutely. Cannot handle spicy food.
He doesn't do spicy food. Okay.
Cannot handle spicy food.
I'm going to write that down. I'll remember that. What about you, Roger? What kind of extreme food does Roger prefer?
Muesli.
Gross. I said extreme food. No one's ever like, oh, yeah, dude. Slap me some of that muesli, brother.
Muesli.
Come on. No, we get it, but it's just the most extreme food imaginable.
You picked it because it had moo in it.
Anything. You can put anything in muesli. You could put fruit. You could put vegetables.
It's still basically granola.
You can put anything in anything, Dad. That's how things work.
Like I said extreme.
Okay. Muesli.
Can I? Saying it louder and longer doesn't make it extreme, Dad. It makes
sense. Okay, put an X at the end of it. Muesli XX.
Okay, now wait. Hold on. We're getting somewhere with muesli X.
Yeah.
Because the idea. Muesli X is like a scientifically engineered special muesli that Dad has to get from the cops or something.
Well, and he has to, and it's what keeps him able to live on this planet.
I mean, yes.
If he doesn't eat muesli, he dies.
Yeah,
Muesli X, if he doesn't eat muesli X, then he can't breathe the atmosphere.
Okay, I love this.
Live on the planet.
Provided by Barker Innovations is the kind of
guys,
scientific
that there is not a picture of muesli that exists on the internet that makes it look good.
Yeah,
it all looks like
it serves its purpose, Griffin. That's muesli's whole thing. It's there.
I didn't say he likes it.
Yeah,
he needs to eat it to live. It makes him poop now, just with the amount of roughage.
No. Roger has four stomachs. Roger,
four stomachs, baby.
Roger, his ability to digest is amazing.
That's three. That's the third time that Dad has called me baby in this one episode.
Royal baby. That was the baby
that
of
the
world.
That was the royal baby.
I didn't think that was directed at you, Griffin. But we're going to have a swear jar and a baby jar. And Justin, finally, Lyle, what's Lyle's favorite radical food?
Well, axolotls have an important place in the Aztec culture, so I thought I'd honor that with chocolate. The guy's wild about chocolate.
Oh, yeah, baby. I love that. Oh, see, I just said baby. I'm so sorry, everybody.
What is going on?
What's happening?
Stop it, everybody. Stop it.
I don't know what's happening.
It can't not have been a problem for 11 years, and then one episode it's a problem for everybody all at once.
I don't know what's happening.
I love it, adult.
Okay. All right, toddler. I think it's great. All right, so that
growing up so fast.
They grow up so fast. I think that's a great starter on all of our characters. We're going to be back with actual like episode next. But here at the end, a special treat. We wanted to play for you our theme song for Abnormals, written by Eric Neer in conjunction with Justin McElroy, and performed by Jonathan Colton.
With additional lyrics by Jonathan Colton.
With additional lyrics by Jonathan Colton. So please enjoy the Abnormals theme, and we'll be back with the next episode. We'll see you then.
In spite of what you have heard, we're at the height of our powers, atop the tallest of towers. But still,
you'll never stop us.
Take my hand and you trust that we will do what we must until it's turning out just like we planned.
And we're so wrong.
The road is long, but our mojo's strong. And unless I'm wrong, and I'm not, we're at the height of our powers.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.